It is in the early hours of Saturday morning in New Zealand, and that country is, sorry for the journalistic cliche, but it is still reeling in shock at the events of yesterday afternoon in Christchurch, when a man who's been identified as an Australian citizen, who, Brenton Tarrant is his name, he's 28 years old, and he went into two mosques in Christchurch and he shot dead at least 49 people, 40-odd are injured as well. He filmed the attack, and he had live streaming of it via a camera attached to his head, and it is an completely and utterly obscene act of violence from somebody who is trying to make a political point about immigration. Andrew McMartin is a reporter with News Talk ZB, which is New Zealand's top talk radio station, and on the line to us now. Andrew, I mean, what a thing to have to deal with. This is not something that happens in New Zealand.
No, you're absolutely right about that. An unprecedented event in this country, and an event that'll change the way we live, perhaps, for many years to come, or perhaps forever, and we're still coming to terms with what has happened. But as you've described, yes, there are 49 people that have been murdered in this massacre, and many, many more injured, some still in a critical condition. And the 28-year-old man, he was one of three people that are arrested, but this 28-year-old, he'll be appearing in Christchurch court tomorrow, and we can imagine that there'll be a heavily armed police presence in Christchurch as he appears after these atrocities.
One of the reports said that four people in total had been arrested, and then it was determined that one of them had nothing to do with the attack. Is there any sense of how intimately the others might have been involved? I mean, there was talk of the making safe car bombs. I know it's incredibly speculative and there's very little hard fact out there, but what is known about what in totality was planned?
Yes, so as you mentioned, there were two improvised explosive devices found on vehicles nearby the scene. We can only imagine what kind of devastation and damage they would have caused if they had managed to have been detonated. As you say, yes, four people were initially arrested. One of those people was released. Police said that that person was unrelated to the attacks. Only the one man, as you say, has been charged. But police have come out and said this afternoon that they're not seeking anyone else at this stage in relation to the attacks. So I guess there's some comfort in that, but there's a lot of, we're just building towards this court appearance tomorrow, and we'll see what happens, and more details should be revealed as the sun comes up over New Zealand.
And then people are trying, I'm sure, are asking, how is it possible that this person was in our midst and nobody knew what he was planning? I mean, how much is known about when he arrived and how long he was there and with whom he socialized and what he did and how it was possible that no clues were given as to what he was planning?
Yes, well, those are some serious questions that obviously need to be answered. He has been in New Zealand for a number of years. He is Australian-born, this person, and we have found out that none of the suspects were being monitored by police and they weren't on the radar of the government, so very, very difficult to get a hold of. There are heavy restrictions around these kind of weapons, so they just can't be purchased by anyone. And not many people own them or even desire to own these kind of weapons in New Zealand. It's just not part of our culture. It's not in our nature to even want to be armed. Hunters are perhaps the only people in New Zealand that have firearms, and people in rural areas, having a weapon like this in a major city like Christchurch is just, it's just not something that we've ever been used to in this country.
And you started, Andrew, by saying that this event is going to change New Zealand. It makes you more security conscious. It makes you look around. We're used to, unfortunately, we've got used to violence in South Africa, and there are many South Africans in New Zealand. We spoke to one an hour ago who's been living in Christchurch for the last 14 years. And one of the reasons why people leave South Africa and go to New Zealand, there are many reasons, but one of them is because they've know or believe that they will feel safer in New Zealand. So what are some of the ways that maybe New Zealand will will change, and the culture will change, and the way people interact might change.
Well, yeah, and you know, you raise some good points. I mean, generally, police officers in this country aren't armed, so there's bound to be a lot of discussion around that. There is a great sense of fear and uncertainty around at the moment, and it does feel like New Zealand has lost part of its innocence. And you can only really speculate that it's because of our way of life and that we're a peaceful country that's one of the reasons we've been targeted, because a shooter like this can comfortably enter a building like a mosque, knowing that there aren't going to be armed people and that the police aren't heavily armed as well. So there's a huge amount of cowardice in this person's actions as well. And being Australian, he's targeted New Zealand as well in that respect as well, perhaps because Australian police are armed and he perhaps viewed New Zealand as a softer target. So there will be a lot of discussions about how we live and how we'll continue to live going forward.
Andrew, yeah, I mean, we're used to death, we're used to violence in South Africa, but we're not used to 49 people at worship being mown down so callously. So I know I speak on behalf of our listeners when I say our thoughts are with you. There is a very close bond, primarily based around having to be second placed when it comes to rugby contests, but there's a long and very friendly relationship between South Africa and New Zealand, and we feel for you.
Well, thank you for your time.
Andrew McMartin is a reporter at News Talk ZB in New Zealand.